Okay, today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes. We left off on Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. Yesterday, the last thing we were discussing, we stopped in the middle of a conversation again. We were discussing the fact that Shlomo HaMelech built 10 extra shulchanos and 10 extra menorahs, and in addition to the one that Moshe Rabbeinu had, so he added those to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're four lines from the bottom, and we had a machlokas how the shulchanos were arranged. Were they arranged north south, or were they arranged east west? So the Gemara is going to try to figure out practically how they would fit in with each shita. So it says in our Bishlam, L'man Yamar Mizrach Marav, and remember, keep in mind the shulchanos all have to be in the north. That was also part of the issue. All of the shulchanos had to be in the north. Menorahs are in the darom. Harotza lahachim yadrim, harotza lahashir yatzbin. All the shulchanos needed to be in the north, on the north side. So Bishlam, L'man Yamar Mizrach Marav. So if they were arranged east west, I understand very well. Hainu davi yas. That since the north side had it was the entire length from north to south was 40 amos, so if they're arranged east to west, so I can understand that you could have you could have 10 of them in a 20 amos space. That makes a lot of sense, and they'll all be in the north side pretty much, and they'll be in within the 20. They'll take up 20 of the 40 amos, so that makes sense. And Rashi points out, obviously, it's going to take up a little bit more than 20 amos, because as he points out, e efshar shiyeshu es. You can't have 20 amos worth of material taking up exactly 20 amos. Still, that's not going to go at least a little bit beyond the 20 amos. But so the fact that it only takes up half the room, so it doesn't mean exactly half the room, a little bit more than half, but that's close enough. But if you say that they were arranged north-south, that they were arranged across the width of the Heichal, and the Heichal was only 20 amos wide in total, there wasn't a little bit extra that you can go. It was arranged north to south, so Yud Bechav, Heichi Avu Yasvi. So how do you have 10 shulchanos that take up a total of 20 amos actually sit in a space of 20 amos? And not only that, if it's going to be arranged north-south, and it therefore takes up the entire width of the Heichal, v'su Kohanim Heichal Avayli. How did Kohanim get in if it takes up the entire width of the Heichal? Blocked off the whole thing. V'su Matzinu Heishul Chanos Bedarom. Plus, it turns out, five of the shulchanos then end up in the south of the Heichal, and all of them are supposed to be in the north if it's arranged north-south, and it takes up the entire space north to south. So five of them are going to end up being in the south. The shulchanos all have to be in the north. Visu shulchan de Moshe Echamanachle. And this doesn't account for the 11th shulchan, or really the first shulchan, the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. This only accounts for the 10 extras. What about the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu? So it says in Gemara, L'tamech l'madim mizruch marv nami shulchan de Moshe Echamanachle. Even if you hold Mizrach L'Marav, that last kasha is a kasha. If you say that it was arranged east to west, you still have an issue with the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, because east to west, we said, you don't want to go beyond the halfway mark. And so maybe you go with Mashu beyond the halfway mark, that's fine. But if you have to fit an 11th Shulchan in there, then you're going way beyond the halfway mark. So anyway, you're going to have trouble with where the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu fit. Ella says the Gemara, Mi Savert Chadarahava. Well, who told you that the Shulchanos were all arranged in a single row? Trey Darininhu. They were arranged in two rows. They weren't all lined up, one right after the other. There were two rows of Shulchanos. And that's why it works out both according to both shitos. Well, says the Gemara, not so fast. Bishlam l'man yamar tzafon v'darom shapir. If you say that there were two rows arranged north to south, so I understand it very well. L'man yamar mizrach u'marav. But if you say that it was arranged east to west, there were two rows of shulchanos that were arranged east to west, which was the shita beforehand that we were happy with. So michti shulchan kama mashuch min hakosel. How far is the shulchan off of the wall? How far is the shulchan from the wall? Shte amos umechsa. The shulchan has to be 2.5 amos off of the northern wall. Va'amadide. Then you have the width of the shulchan of the first row of shulchanos, which is 1 amma. So that's 3.5 amos so far. Vishte amos umechsa de beni beni. You need another 2.5 amos in between the rows of shulchanos. Va'amma. And then you have another amma of the shulchan itself. V'shtei amos mechza de beni beni, and then you have another 2.5 amos because that middle amma is the amma of the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is right in the middle. If you look at the diagram on the top right hand side, so if you're starting from the left side of that picture in the diagram on the right hand side, which is the north, so you have 2 amos from the wall till you hit the first shulchan. Then one amma of the shulchan not drawn to scale, another 2.5 amos in between the shulchan, the first row of shulchanos and that middle shulchan that's sitting there. And then you have another 2.5 amos in between the shulchan in the middle and the whole second row of shulchanos. Then another amma of the shulchan itself. It turns out that if you have exactly 20 amos across the entire room, and you're only allowed to take up 10 of those amos, so it's going half an amma beyond its mark, because we said 2.5 plus 1 is 3.5 plus another 2.5 is 6 plus another 1 is 7 plus another 2.5 is 9.5 plus another 1 is 10.5. So it turns out that it's 10.5 amos into the room. It's only supposed to go 10 amos into the room. Otherwise, it's encroaching by a half an amma onto the south, and you're not supposed to have the shulchan in the south. The shulchan's got to be completely in the north. So says Gemara, "Mi savrit shulchan de Moshe ba'adayu have a yasiv? Lo, de midli leyu manachle." The shulchan of Moshe, you think it was right in between the other two rows of shulchanos where it takes up the full amount of space? No, it was a little bit removed from midu michli ledu porta katal mireyoshiv ferabo. It was raised from the other shulchanos, and it was a little bit in between, like Talmidim that's in front of a Rebbe. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was like the desk in front of a classroom, if you look at the diagram in the middle of the page, where you see there doesn't need to be space across the width between the other Shulchanos and Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, because Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was above them, and therefore the ends of Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan were actually at least even, maybe even overlapping with the other Shulchanos. There was no need for Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan to have 2.5 amos of space in between each row of shulchanos and Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, so it didn't even come close to encroaching on the southern side of the Heichal. Now Rashi adds in over here, Katal Mir Yoshev Ne'rabo. Rashi adds in a Chiddush. He writes Namuch Hemenu, that what Talmud Yoshev Ne'rabo is that the Talmidim sit on a lower spot than the Rebbe sits. The Rebbe sits like up on a pedestal. So he says that's what maybe it means, that they were actually lower. Kach Olsim Shalshom Namuch Mishal Moshe. The Beis Hamikdash Haya Meshupa Ulitzan Marav Magbia Yoser, that the Beis Hamikdash was on a slant. It was built on a slant, and the western side was a little bit higher. And Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan was in the higher spot. A little bit difficult to understand where Rashi gets that from. It doesn't. Where do we ever find that the Beis Hamikdash was slanty? That it wasn't a flat ground. It was built on a mountain, but you would imagine you could build things on a mountain and make flat floors. So very, very difficult to understand where Rashi's coming from on that issue. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Asar Shulchanos also Shlomo v'loyim esad nelal shel Moshe. Shlomo Melch made 10 Shulchanos, but the Lechem Apanim was put on the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's it. Shemar v'shulchan asher lov Lechem Apanim zahav. And by the way, I didn't mention before, the 2.5 amos come from the fact that the 2.5 amos that you need between the wall and the shulchan comes from the fact that you need space for people to put the lechem apanim on the shulchanos. Rashi pointed out the people who are carrying the two rows of lechem apanim need to walk side by side. You need two people to be able to walk side by side. You need 2.5 amos for two people to walk side by side. Like we said, by carrying the Aron, that the people carrying the Aron could not have been walking across the width of the Aron because they would never fit in the 1.5 amos. They must have been walking across the length of the Aron, which is exactly 2.5 amos. For Hiluch Shnei B'nei Adam, you need 2.5 amos, which is it fits because normally we assume the makom that a person takes up is 1 amma by 1 amma. By a sukkah, Shir Sukkah Katana, Machlokas, but if you assume that all you need is Rosh Ovarubo for a Shir Sukkah Katana, the amount of space to fit a human being it's six tefachim by six tefachim. It's one amma by one amma. So why by two people do you need 2.5 ammas? Shouldn't 2 ammas be enough? So no, because they're walking. So k'day hiluch, so that they don't step on each other's feet, you need an extra half an amma. You need a little bit of extra space in between them. So hiluch shnei b'nei adam is 2.5 ammas. That's where those 2.5 ammas come from. But anyway, says the Braisa, of the shulchanos that Shlomo Melch made, they didn't actually use it to put the lechem apanim on. They only really put the lechem apanim on Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan. Eser menoros also Shlomo v'madliket el b'shel Moshe. Shlomo Melch made 10 menoros, but they only lit Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Shnemar menoros of nirsel levar be'erev. Reb Lozer and Shmua Omer. Reb Lozer and Shmua says no. Al kulam ayu mesadrin. They would arrange the breads on all of the shulchanos. L'chora, the previous comment about the 2.5 amos assumes that they were putting bread on them. Otherwise, why do you need 2.5 amos of space between each and every row of shulchanos if they weren't actually having two people come with the breads to put on them? So, but anyway, Rav Elazar ben Shmuel says they would put bread on all of them. Shemar es hashulchanos v'aleihem lechem apanim. Says hashulchanos v'aleihem lechem apanim, on all of them. U'bekulon ayim adlikan, and all the menorahs, they would light all the menorahs. Shemar es hamenorahs nerusayim l'varam k'mishpat l'frei advir zav sagur. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Domer loy musadrin ela al shel Moshe. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi says no, they would only arrange on Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan. Elamani mekaymes hashulchanos asher leim lechem apanim zav. What do I do with the pasuk that says that on all of the shulchanos they would put the lechem apanim on the golden shulchanos? No, that's not a reference to the shulchanos that Shlomo Melech built. That's not a reference to shulchanos that looked like the shulchan of Moshe. Elu shlosh shulchanos shoy b'migdash. That's a reference to the fact that in general there were 3 shulchanos in the Migdash in the following way. The Mishnah is going to say in Amud Beis, shnayim shoyu bu'ulami b'fnim lepesach habayis, echad shel kesef ve'echad shel zav. 2 were in the ulam by the doorway of the Beis HaMikdash, 1 of kesef and 1 of zav. Al shel kesef nosin lechem apanim b'knisaso. They would have a special silver table that they would put the lechem apanim down on before that lechem apanim went on the main shulchan. Ve'al shel zav b'yitziyaso. And they had another table to take off last week's lechem apanim, after they took off last week's lechem apanim, they had a golden table where they would place down the old lechem apanim on the golden table before they would divide it up to all and give to all the kohanim. So shemalim b'kodesh v'lo maridin. The reason why the golden table is on the way out is because we have a concept of malim b'kodesh v'lo maridin. You have to go up in kedusha. You can't go down in Kedusha. Echad shel zav bifnim shel lav lechem apanim tamid. And then you have the shulchan, of course, that's bifnim, that's in the heichal, that has the lechem apanim on it constantly. That's what we say, that you put bread on the shulchanos, on the multiple tables. Not the tables that Shlomo HaMelech built. The shulchanos of kesef is zav. That's what we're referring to. Okay, before we get into Malam B'Kedusha V'loma Ridin, Rashi Rabbeinu Gershom say that when Elazar ben Shmua says that al kulam hayu misad, he does not mean to say that kol asar shulchanos they would put the lechem upon him. It's at all times. He means that Rashi and Ben Gershon both say it means that sometimes they would put on this one, sometimes on that one. It's not that all of them had lechem upon him simultaneously. And the same would be true by the menorah. Reb Lozer ben Shmuel does not mean to say that they lit all eser menoros that Shlomo Melch built, but that sometimes they would light one, sometimes they would light the other. Mitzvah Shtavit just points out from the Gemara you can see that the shulchanos and these menoros that Shlomo Melch made had a din of shulchan and menorah. They didn't have a din of just extra things to decorate the Beis HaMikdash. They had a full din of shulchan and menorah. How do I know that? The fact that the Gemara tries to do these calculations to make sure that every single one of these shulchanos is in the tzafon. So the din of being in the tzafon is only a din in the shulchan. You got to really be the shulchan to have a din of being in the tzafon. The din of being in the darum is only a din in the real menorah. So it must be that these actually had a din of the real shulchan and the real menorah. So fret the Mikdash David. So how could it be that he made 10 shulchanos, 10 menorahs? The Torah says to make one is baltosif. So Mikdash David says the shulchanos, the menorahs were part of the asiyas hamikdash itself. And just like the binyan itself was not exactly like the binyan of Mishkan, it had an ulam and it had ta'im and other things that were different than the binyan of Mishkan. Ki akol b'ksav miyad Hashem alei askil. There was a nevuah that he must have made. He must have Shlomo Melech must have had a nevuah that he had to have esar shulchanos and esar menoros as well. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. And that's why they would only be misad on the shulchan Shel Moshe. And they would only be madlik the ner Shel Moshe because it's only by the kiyum hamikdash that they're considered klei hamikdash, not the kiyum haavoda. The avoda is the same as it was in the Mishkan. The mikdash is different than the Mishkan. The structure is different. So the number of Shulchanos and the number of menorahs was a din in the Mikdash that that Shlomo HaMelech had such a nevuah that you're supposed to build the Mikdash in that way. But in terms of the Avodah is exactly the same. One more point, we said that they would put the Lechem Apanim on the silver table on the way in and a gold table on the way out. So the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tzadi Zayin Os Vav asks that how is it possible that they put the Lechem Apanim on the Shulchanos of silver on the way in? The Lechem Apanim were placed in dafusim, in these molds made out of gold, that's how the Rambam writes that Shlosh dafusim shel zahav hayulahem. The molds that we spoke about before, the Rambam Tzvi Musaf in Parakei writes they were all made out of gold. So if that's the case, how were they allowed to take it out of the golden molds and put it on a silver table? Isn't that a harada b'kedusha? Meaning they came out of the oven, they were put directly into these golden molds. So how could they then be put on a silver table? So, and you can't say that, no, they were put on the silver table while still in the golden molds, and therefore it's not considered a harada, because then the sidur behechel on the Shulchan Azav should not be considered a ha'ala'a. We're going to discuss that your malim b'kodesh, that to take it from the silver table to put it on the Shulchan shel zahav, is a ha'ala'a b'kedusha. But it shouldn't be Allah B'Kedusha. It's sitting in gold the whole time. It's in the golden molds the entire time. So it's not really Allah B'Kedusha. So the Minchas Chinuch says that this halach of Malam Kodesh Ve'Moridin is only when you have something that's already has its full Kedusha and it's ready to be Nifsal Belina. So once it's placed in the gold, you can't be morid it and put it on the silver table. The Lechem Apanim, before it was arranged on the Shulchan, is not Huchsha Lihipasal Belina. It doesn't have its full Kedusha to have Psulina, because the oven doesn't make it kadosh to that level, and therefore putting it on the silver table is not considered a harada b'kedusha, even if it's still in the golden molds. It's only afterwards when it's put on the gold table that we're very makbid about it, and then it's not in the molds anymore. So says Gemara Vayter, Uminolan Dein Moridin. How do I know that there is such a din that you can't be morid b'kedusha? Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Da Amar Krav, Ayakom Moshe Samishkan Viti Nasadinav. Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. How do we see from there that in Moridin just says Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan? Rashi has three possibilities. Possibility number one, the bottom Rashi, or second to last Rashi on the page, Midureshe v'sefi dekra b'loshna kama, tafilu b'tzachas ha'loshon lahurad, shema mina in Moridin. From the fact that he uses the loshon of hakama several times in the Pasuk, even in the language the Pasuk uses, it doesn't change it, it doesn't go down in the type of language that it uses. So therefore you see that in Moridin. Very strange limud, that it's the language doesn't go down. So the second limud Rashi has, v'inami delosiu achiv akonim ba'akamas amudim ba'adanim shemamina in moridim fichachonis askeba acherim. Once Moshe Rabbeinu starts getting involved, so anyone else to get involved would be a harada b'kedusha, because no one else is Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that he did it all himself shows you that in moridim they can't get anybody else involved. Third possibility, lishna achrinim ayikar v'ayaka Moshe samishkan tahenu yurios. First he puts up the yurios, shebetchila paris that he didn't take them down when he was putting up the Adonim and he was putting up the Amudim. He held them up with his hand the entire time. To take them down would have been a Harada B'Kedusha. So that's the limit of In Moridin. Amar Bachar Yaakov, I'm sorry, Uminolan de Malin. And how do I know, says the Gemara further, how do I know that in addition to the din of In Moridin, there's also a din of Malin that you're supposed to be Malin B'Kedusha? Amar Bachar Yaakov Damakra, Esmach. That they took these machtos, they took these shovels, and they turned them into part of the Mizbeach. So you see, they dafka made an effort to take something that was on a lower level of Kedusha, these shovels that were clay shares, and they made them into Mizbeach. First they were just tashmishim of the Mizbeach, now they are actual Mizbeach. So you see from there that you're supposed to be Malim B'Kodesh. See also that there are two dinim over here. We have two different psukim. We have one din that you're not allowed to be morid something from its kedusha. Another din that you dafka should try to be mala something to a higher kedusha. So the nafkamina would be that you're not supposed to, if you're going to make a change with something, you shouldn't even make it a lateral change. You shouldn't even make a change where it's on something on an even level of kedusha. The any change has to be for the better. Can't even be for the same. it's Malan B'Kodesh, it's separate issue to be Morid, but it's Malan B'Kodesh. Is this din a din d'Araisa? So the Prima Gadim writes in Aruch Chaim, in Sim Kuf Nun Gimel, in the Mishpat Sozav, in the beginning of Sim Kuf Nun Gimel, that even though there are psukim over here that we're learning from, it's not a din d'Araisa, it's a din d'Rabbanan. The psukim are only an asmach to be alma, nothing more than that. Minchas Lazar writes in the Tshuva, Chelek Aleph Sim Chavav, that it sounds that way from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav Ches as well. The Gemara says, Gemiri Malin B'Kodesh Vein Maridin. We have a tradition that you're Malin B'Kodesh Vein Maridin. So Rabbi Shaya Pick over there in the Mesoras Shas says, what are you talking about, Gemiri? We have Psukim, not Gemiri. So it fits very well with the Prima Gadim. No, the Psukim are only in Asmachta. It's really not a Din D'Araisa at all. It's just some long-standing tradition. The Torah Tamima has a similar Vart in Perek Mem of Shemos, Ha'aravav, on the Yerushalmi and the Medrash Rabbah that say, Shamati Shemalim B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin. Says the Torah Tamima, Shamati? What do you mean, Shamati? It's a Din D'Araisa. Elamai, it's not a Din D'Araisa. That's it's only a Shamati, Shemalim B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin. However, the Marit al-Ghazi holds that it is a din mida oraisa, that these are legitimate drushas from psukim and nothing short of that. The difficulty is that the Prima Gadim associates himself. The Prima Gadim in Aruch Chaim Simon Mem Beis, just 11 simanim earlier in the Mishpat Zahav in Sifkat Nalef writes, Vida de hode in moridin mikdusha chamur l'kdusha kala yesh l'estapek yihavi dvar toro d'rabanan. He says, I have a suffix, I'm not sure if it's d'oraisa or d'rabban in this din, and strangely, as he quotes, Umei Rashi b'Megillah Chafava Medal b'Mishnah Shehevi Tosefta b'Inyan Zeh D'Malim b'Kodesh T'Chsiv Ayaka Moshe Es HaMishkan B'Tzal Asu Moshe Shehegodl Menu Hikimo Mashma L'Chore D'Havi d'oraisa. From the fact that Rashi quotes in Megillah Daf Chavav a pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan, that makes it sound like it's d'oraisa. So strange. You quote a Rashi in Megillah. It's enough for the Gemara, Menachos, Tzadi Tes. And besides the fact that Rashi and Megillah got it a little bit off from what the Gemara says, maybe therein lies the answer. You just got to figure out how. Because the source that we had for Ein Moridin, Rashi quotes as the source for Malin. Okay, but that's a separate issue. It's a very strange, right? The Prima Gadim is so certain, right? When he was writing Simon Mem Beis, he wasn't yet sure. By the time he got to Simon Nun Gimel, he was sure that it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, that it's not a Din D'Araisa. Very difficult Prima Gadim. Okay, says the Gemara further. We have some of the more famous Gemaras in Shas on today's daf. Asher Shibarta, the Samtem Ba'aron. There is also a discussion about whether this is in fact a Malin B'Kedusha, to take something that was a shovel, that was clay shares, and turn it into Mizbech. Is the Mizbech actually a Halah B'Kedusha above what clay shares are? That's the Kasha, the Hafla, that there's Gemara in Ksuvus that sounds the opposite. Sounds like clay shares are more Kodesh than the Mizbech. But anyway, says the Gemara says further, Asher Shibarta V'Samtem Ba'aron. Tani Rav Yosef, Melamid Sha'aluchos V'Shivrei Luchos Menachem Ba'aron. We see from there that the luchos and the shivrei luchos were placed in the aron. From there you see that a Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning, machmasonso, that you shouldn't be knowing bo minig b'zayon, you should still be respectful of a Talmud Chacham that forgets his learning. That's what the Mishnah says at the end of Kedushin, that Torah is very special, that any other profession is not going to be there for you when you're old and you can't do it anymore. But Torah is going to be there be'isuk nuso also. Really? People don't forget the Torah? No, they do forget the Torah, but it's still, the halacha is that even someone who did forget his Torah, you still have to show him respect. That's how some of the Achronim explain. Amar of Yosef, Yilav HaYom, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuke, that if it weren't for the day of Shavuos, how many Yosefs are there in the market? So some of the Achronim explain, the day of the Shavuos is the day we got the luchos that were broken. So what Rav Yosef was saying was, Rav Yosef, we've discussed in the past, was someone who forgot all of his learning. He got sick and he forgot his learning. He used to be a major Talmud Chacham and he lost all of his learning. So what Rav Yosef was saying is, given my knowledge right now, after I've forgotten all my learning, Kama Yosef Yika Bashuka Ilav Hayoma, had it not been for the Shivrei Luchos, and what the Shivrei Luchos teach us, that you're supposed to respect someone even who forgot his learning, then Kama Yosef Yika Bashuka, then there are plenty of Amaratzim. Then there wouldn't be anything anything special. Amrei Shlakish Pa'amim Shabitula Shel Torah Zehu Yisoda. Sometimes being mevatel Torah is the best way to enhance the Torah and to keep the Torah strong. How so? D'ksiv Asher Shibarta Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Yiyasher Kochach Asher Shibarta. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives him a big Yasher Koyach. Good job by breaking the Luchos. V'amrei Shlakish Talmud Chacham Shesarach Ein Mevazen Osa B'Farhesi. If a Talmud Chacham goes off, does something bad, you're not supposed to be mevazi him publicly. Shenemar v'chishalta yom v'chishal gam navi amcha laila kiseu kalaila. We learn from there you're supposed to cover it up like the nighttime. It's not something that's supposed to be aired out publicly. V'amrei Shlakish kol mishakech davrechem mitalmudo over belav. Anyone who forgets anything from his learning is over a losa say. Shenemar yishamu lechol shmar nafshcha ma'od pen tishkach es hadvarim ukid Rabbi Yavin am Rabbi La. And this is like Rabbi Yavin am Rabbi La. Dam Rabbi Yavin am Rabbi La. Kol makom shamer yishamer pen va'al. Anyway, los asay. Whenever you have yishamer pen or al, it's always a los asay. So that's why it's over belav if you forget something from your learning. Ravina am yishamer pen shnei lavin inhu. It says, what does it say? It says by the pasuk, yishamer l'chal shmar nafshcha ma'od pen tishkach esedvarim. So you have yishamer and pen in the pasuk. So it's not just one lav, it's two lavin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar b'shlosh lavin. No, not just two, it's three lavin. Shenemar yishamer l'cha ushmar nafshcha ma'od pen tishkach esedvarim. You have two lashons of shmira and one lashon of pen. That's three lo saseis from forgetting your learning. So yachal afilu machmas on. So I might have thought that even if it's machmas onus that you forget your learning, a person has an accident or something where his memory starts to go or whatever happens, that it's not his fault, he simply can't remember, he's chazring and chazring but he doesn't have the kelim to remember everything. Tamalomar pen yasuru milvavcha b'misira milibo akas medaber, that the isser is only if you are actively meisir the milibo, if you actively try to remove them from your heart. But if you don't actively try to remove them from your heart and it's just machmason, so that's not going to be the isser. Now if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos writes yachal fil machmason, so mishni hibi mesach zavos. Tosfos says this is a mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So what's Tosfos doing over there? He's just informing us, giving us a marimakom. He decided to take the place in the Masoros Hashas over here. So it could be that Tosfos is trying to raise a kasha, that we're quoting Amoraim, teaching something that's beferish in the Mishnah. What are the Amoraim adding that we don't already have in the Mishnah in Maseches Avos? So the Sfasemis writes that you could say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that it's only Al Yidei Ones, that it's not Mischayev Benafsha. That's what the Mishnah says. Over here it says that not only are you not Mischayev Benafsha when it's Al Yidei Ones, you're also Eino Over Belav when it's Ali Deonis. Because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos just says Mischayev Benafsho, but if it's Ali Deonis, you're not Mischayev Benafsho. Over here we're saying, forget about Mischayev Benafsho, you're not even over a lav if it's Ali Deonis. Not only you're not Mischayev Benafsho, you're not even over a lav. Another possible answer I saw beautiful in the Birei Adaf in a footnote over here, he writes, it could be that the Mishnah in Avos has a slightly different lashon than our Gemara. The Mishnah in Avos talks about Shochech Dover Echad Mi Mishnaso. Talks about someone who forgets Dover Echad Mi Mishnaso. Over here the Gemara says, Shochech Dover Echad Mi Talmudo. Two different dinim. What's the difference between Mishnaso and Mitalmudo? So this is a Gemara in Yuma, Lamech Chesem Beis. Amar Rav Lazar, Kol Mashiach Keach, Dover Mitalmudo, Gorim Golos Lubanov. Anyone who forgets something Mitalmudo causes Golos for his children. Quotes a pasuk, and the Marsha asks, well, wait a second. In Pirkei Avos says, Kol Shochech Dover Echad Mi Mishnaso, Harizim Mischayev Benafsho. So which is it? You cause Golos to your children, or you Mischayev Benafsho? So the Marsha says, no. In Pirkei Avos it says, Mishnaso. Mishnaso is that which you are mekabel merabo, that learning which is sedur befiv, that you get directly from your Rebbe, that's just the facts. This is what you need to know. These are the statements that we have b'mesora, like the Mishnah. And if you forget that, you're meschayev benafsho, then you're breaking the links in the mesora. But in Yuma, it says mitalmudo. Talmudo is what you're mefalpel and what you come up with on your own. The avayus tabayev rava, the analysis, the extra chidushim, not the learning that's mesudur befiv. And that the onus is galus lebanav, that shelo yeh lahem sham begalus das diluso kiyom de istina de bay shmeitza. It's a midah keneged midah. In order to come up with pilpul and chidushim, you need a clear mind. In galus, when right in ara de mechashki, the Gemara refers to Bavel as a dark land. It's dark. You don't have the clarity of mind. You don't have the clarity of thinking. Then Nitziv develops this idea a lot in his hakdama to the Perush on the She'iltos, how in galus we're not able to think as clearly. And he said that's why the style of Torah you'll note out is different in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Golos. In Talmud Yerushalmi, everything's very direct and very clear. It didn't require that much work because they had this tremendous clarity. But in Bavel, Talmud Bavli, you have Dapim and Dapim of Gemara between Mishnayos with tangents and pilpul and this and that, because they couldn't think clearly. They needed to do all that work in order to get to a clear understanding of the sugya that Nitziv writes. So, but bottom line is, what do you see from the Marsha? That there's a chiluk between Talmudo and Mishnaso. So that could be the answer. That's what the Gemara is adding, that the Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah says that if you're shochech davar mi Mishnaso al yidei ones, that you're not going to be in trouble. Over here, the Gemara is saying that if it's mi Talmudo al yidei ones, that you're not going to be mischayev benafsho. So that's the other possibility. Okay. Also, there is a Gemara in Horios. The Gemara in Horios tells us that on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, at the very end of Horios, that there are five things that if a person does, it causes him to forget his learning. If you eat from that which a mouse ate from, or that which a cat ate from, or if you eat a heart of an animal, or if you eat a lot of olives, or if you drink water that people have washed with, or if you wash your feet one on top of the other, all those things cause you to forget your learning. And some say, if you put all your clothing underneath your head, underneath your pillow, it will cause you to forget your learning. So if you do that, if you do any of those things, have you violated this Isra D'Oraisa that the Gemara tells us of Pen Yishkach, that lest you forget? So Rabbi Yosef Palagi in the Sefer Ruach Chaim says yes, it's an absolute violation. If you do any of these things, you are violating the Isra of Masira Milibo, and you're actively going and being Masira the Milibo. However, the Poskim quote from Rabbi Yudah Chassid in the Sefer Chassidim in Siman Tuf Tuf Reish Ches, where he says Bezel Lashon. He says, "Echad shal mechacham va'amar achbarim achlu milachmi im uchalechol min alechem." Someone came to the rabbi and said, "Mice ate for my bread, but I'm starving. Can I eat the bread anyway?" So amarlo v'lamala sochal. So the rabbi says, "Well, why not? Why wouldn't you eat it?" Amarlo peneshkach talmudi v'ani nisar milechol kol ma'ashem mishakach talmud. He says, "Well, I'm careful. I try not to eat things that will make me forget my learning. So I don't want to eat the bread. I'm afraid. But v'ata ani rov. But I'm asking the shaila because I'm starving. I'm really hungry." So amarlo achacham. The Chacham says back, says Rabbi Yudah Chassid, "Eino chayev at sheyash v'sir milibo. You're only chayev if you sit there trying to remove the Torah from your heart. V'ani ro'oscha she'enoch osik b'torah, v'atapani u'batal midivrei Torah." And frankly, I do see you sit there watching TV all day. You're not working to chazer over your learning. So you're sitting there as a yeshiv batal. U'mutav lach shelo yisin esarim b'dvarim ha'mashachim k'dei shetishakeach dvarim b'telim shat osik b'hem. Better for you to eat the mouse food and chazer your learning instead of sitting there battling the whole day. That would be, you'd be better off. We see from there that he holds, obviously, that eating these things is not a blatant violation of being meser milibo. Okay, Rabbi Distaib, Rabbi Yane Amar, Yachla, if you talk follow Mishnaso, I might have thought even if it's just too much, the learning is overwhelming and you're not able to maintain it all. Tamaloma rak. That's what the Pasuk says, rak. Rabbi Yochra, Rabbi Bozer, Damri Tarvayu, Torah nit barbaim, Neshama notzra barbaim. The Torah was given in 40 days and the Neshama was created in 40 days. Kalav Neshama Torah. By the way, it seems that that's not 100% clear. The in Gemara Sanhedrin, Sadi Alf and Beis, doesn't sound like the Neshama is given in 40 days. Sounds like it's given earlier than that. But anyway, Kol Meshamer Torasa, Neshmasa Meshtameres. Anyone who watches over, guards over his Torah, his Neshama will be guarded as well. Kol Sheinu Meshamer Torah, Neshmasa Meshtameres. If someone doesn't guard over his Torah, his Neshama will not be protected. Tandabir Rabbi Shmuel, Mashal Adam Shmasa Tzipor Dror La Avdo. It's like a person who gives his favorite bird to his Eved to watch over. Amar Kumaduma Ata Shematama Avdo Shani Not. So you probably think that if you lose the bird, I'm going to charge you for the cost of the bird. No, I love that bird. I'm going to kill you if you lose that bird. So that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. You think if you don't take care of the Torah, okay, so you're going to lose the Torah, you'll have to pay back. No, I'm going to take your neshama from you if you don't observe the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, Sosavis points out. First it says, Kol HaMeshamer Torasso. And then it says, Kol She'enu Meshamer Es HaTorah. It says, when you're Meshamer it, it becomes Torasso. It becomes your Torah. When you're Enu Meshamer, then it's just Torah. Then it's not Torasso. Then it's not your Torah. It's only by trying to maintain it and trying to retain it that it actually becomes Torah delay. And that's what the Gemara in Kedushin says, Tamil Chacham Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Machl, because Torah delayu. Person who's Tamil Chacham, the Torah becomes his. When it becomes his, he has the ability to be Machl on the cover that comes as a result of it. Okay, it says the Mishnah, there are two tables by the ulam going into the heichal. One was made out of marble, one was made out of gold. We just had this in Amud Aleph with a slight variation of it being made out of silver. We'll discuss. Al shel shayish nosam lechem apan b'knisaso, al shel zav b'yitziaso. The marble one got the bread on the way in. The gold one got the bread put on it on the way out. Shemal mekadosh shalom reading, because shemal mekadosh shalom reading. Vechad shel zav b'fnim shalav lechem apanim tamid. And then you have the one, the gold one that the lechem apanim was on all the time. The four kohen, it took four kohen to come put the bread on the shulchan, two holding six loaves of bread each, and two holding one spoon of lavona each. And there were four other kohen whose job it was to remove the two rows and two spoons from the previous week. The people on their way in stood in the north, faced the south. And the ones that were going out stood in the south and faced the north. If you look at Rashi, he writes, it's better to have the people doing this current avoda standing in the north, because tzafon always has more kedusha. North is always a little bit more kadosh. So these guys are, while the guys that were pulling off the last week's lechem were pulling it off, the new lechem was being placed on. That was mamish. They were the tefach height of last week's lechem was right up against the tefach height of this week's lechem. It was as if one was pushing the other off. They couldn't actually use the physical force to push it off, because then it would break. But it was that's how they would arrange it as they were pulling it off. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Elu Notle Veilu Manichna Afilu Hi Aisa Tamid. Rabbi Yossi says, nah, as long as the same day, that's good enough. It doesn't have to be mamish at the same moment. Yatzav Nasim Ashulchan Azav Shai Bulam. They then put it out on the gold table that was in the ulam. Then they would burn the levona that was in the vezichin, and the chalos would be divided amongst the kohanim. If Yom Kippurim fell on Shabbos, the chalos were then divided that evening. If Yom Kippurim fell out on Erev Shabbos, so Seir Shal Yom Kippurim nechal la'erev, then the Seir Shal Yom Kippurim would be eaten in the evening. Can't cook it on Shabbos. So the Bavliim would eat it raw, because they were Daitan Yafa. They had the ability to do these things, to eat it raw. There's a major question that the Achronim all ask. It talks about if Yom Kippur fell out on Erev Shabbos. What if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos? So would they also say Amischalkos Chalos or Amischalkos LeErev? That if Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos, so they couldn't eat it on Shabbos, they didn't divide it on Shabbos. What about Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos? This was matzah. Halach is not letting matzah on Erev Pesach. So did they divide up the lechem upon him? Why didn't the Mishnah mention it if they did? And if they didn't, why didn't they? So there's a Marcheshes, Chelik Aleph, Simon Yud Aleph, Anaf Gimel, where he gives four answers to this kasha of why we don't say this by Erev Pesach as well, that they couldn't divide up the lechem upon him on Erev Pesach. Number one, he says, based on the Balamor and Pesachim at the end of the third paragraph of Pesachim, that the Yisra Achilles Matzah on Erev Pesach is not on the entire Erev Pesach. It's only from the time where it's Asur to eat Chametz, that it's also Asur to eat Matzah, which is after Chatzos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Pesachim Daf Nun Ches, that the Haktaras HaBezichin was before the Karban Musaf, so it was in the fifth hour of the day, so that was before the Zman Yisra Achilles Chametz. They could have divided up the Lechem upon him then and eaten it then. Answer number two, he says, based on the Tzlachim Pesachim Yud Gimel and Beis, where it says that in Mavin Toda B'Chag HaMatzos from the Chametz Shabbat, says you're not allowed to bring Karban Toda on Pesach because of the Chametz, that 30 the 10 loaves of Chametz in the Karban Toda. So the Gemara says Pshita, of course you're not allowed to. Amar Avad Barava Bar Ba Asar Askinan. So the Gemara says no, we're dealing with Erev Pesach. So you're not allowed to be Mevi Kachem L'Beis HaPsul by being Mimayit Zman Achila, bringer of Chametz. So the Tzlach just asks, well, wait a second. Forget about mitzad the chametz. Both mitzad the chametz and mitzad the matzah, you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. So the Tzlach answers that mitzad the Yisra Achilles Matzah on Erev Pesach, we would say Adrabba, in order not to be not to passel the Toda, the Rabbanim never made such a gezeira. So maybe you could say the same thing over here. In order not to passel the lechem upon him, the Rabbanim never made such a gezeira. Third answer he gives based on Rabbeinu Tam in Pesachim Lamed Hay, that we only ask on Erev Pesach matzah that's ro'i to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah that evening. But matzah ashira, let's say, where you can't be yotze the mitzvah on the night of the Seder, that's not asur on Erev Pesach. So it could be the same is true by the matzah of the Karban Toda and the lechem apanim, that it's efshar to be yotze yirchiv matzah. The Mishnah says over there on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, you can't be yotze yirchiv of matzah with the lechem apanim or the matzah of the carbon totem. Mimela, there would be no isur to eat it on Erev Pesach. Of course, the difficulty with that is that that's very different than matzah shira. Matzah shira is qualitatively tasteless. Different, and since the whole issue of eating matzah on Erev Pesach is that you could be excited for the taste of matzah that night, over here it's the same exact matzah. It just has a different halachic status. Okay, no time for the fourth answer. Mirtz Hashem will pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.